Do you have emotional blind spots? And could those emotional blind spots be related to actual physical blind spots, places that your eyes won't move, or other reasons that your eyes are not seeing what's going on in your life? Turns out these are directly related. So, in today's episode, we're going to tell you some great stories about how life shifted immediately when you open up those physical blind spots, and how it changes the emotional blind spots dramatically. So let's dive right in, Bill. Let's tell some stories. Off camera, you were talking to me about someone who had a blind spot, a physical blind spot because of a surgery, right?
Well, yes, all of us have emotional blind spots, kind of metaphorical blind spots, but many of us have physical blind spots, and we don't really realize it. But this particular individual was a woman who had a disease where she ended up getting tumors. This disease actually ended up producing a few tumors in her brain, and they were severe in that they had to operate, or they were going to there these things were going to end her. So anyway, they ended up doing the brain surgery and getting the tumors out. And subsequent to that, she could not look to the left. And so her life, and when I say can't look to the left, is if she tried to look to the left, would become extremely fatigued. To the point, I got to go to bed. And not only that, but if you were to stand to her left or sit to her left, just the way the brain was working is she would find herself like agitation and frustration, because th there was something there. And so she would always try to situate herself in a room where nobody's to the left, the chair. So literally, there was a hunting, a hunting with her head to try to get the person into a place that she could see, and also to keep people off the left side. All of her girlfriends and everybody knew, and her husband knew, stay over to the right. So this became kind of instructions when, ever they meet somebody, okay, listen, there's this thing, stay over here, that type of thing. Well, not only that, but she would fatigue easily. She could only get in, a couple hours a day at the most of work, and then she'd have to go and take a nap. So, her life was filled with fatigue, frustration, agitation, and that sort of thing. And it was very interesting because we ended up doing a simple cognitive movement session, and we're able to get her eyes moving over to the left without strain, without discomfort. We're able to take away all the strain and discomfort, and so that her eyes had fluid movement over the left, like no big deal. And it was shocking for her. Subsequent to that, the session was incredibly fast. It was, maybe 45 minutes or so. But what was very interesting is her life changed afterwards. The level of frustration dropped, agitation dropped, the fatigue went away. Being able to spend full days doing work and other things, that it was so interesting. The amazing kind of thing to me, And I kind of looked at it as an oh no initially, but in talking with Liz about this, her husband, after her eyes began to work, the relationship changed with her husband. And her husband ended up asking for a divorce. And but the interesting thing is she was like, there's no resistance to it. She was like, oh, actually, this is good.
It makes sense, yeah.
It makes sense, right? And all of us, nobody wants to see somebody divorce, but there's the interesting thing there was that a change in mindset and being very comfortable with the transition to a new life.
Let's talk about this a little bit because what are we really talking about? We're talking about when someone's eyes can't see, can't move, they don't have access to the parts of the brain connected with that side. So if the eyes can't go to the left, then you don't have access to any of the right brain. Eyes left means access to right brain, which is where creativity lives, the ability to calm down lives. This is why it's so important for us to be able to shift hemispheres throughout the day. So we have that linear, more stress-based left, balanced with the calmer, more creative right. So when either one are blocked, we don't have access to those areas. But I think even more interestingly, we don't have access to other perspectives as well. So when you have no way to move your eyes to the left, anything that's on that side is probably going to be misperceived. You're going to hear it wrong. It's going to create the agitation, like she was talking about. And you just don't see things as they really are. And so when I hear a story like that, like, wow, after their problem got corrected, now they're getting divorced, and you think, oh no, that's a bad thing. But it's really not, because there are lots of people staying in relationships that they shouldn't, because they don't have all the perspectives that they need to have. And once they do, they can see clearly, oh, I don't belong in this situation, or we don't belong together, or maybe I should have never married this person in the first place. It's far more likely we have people that all of a sudden it heals their relationship. But the ending of a relationship can be very healing to both parties as well. So the other thing that can happen is that when you have a big blind spot in where your eyes can move, where your vision is, that you can have big emotional outbursts. We call them uncontrolled emotions. Big anxiety attacks can be one of those as well, or big anger spikes as well. Resentment, frustration, even jealousy can be a part of those, because you just don't have your full brain to consider things with. So if you're out there listening and you're driving a car, don't do this right now. But if you're seated, do it. And if you're on YouTube, you're going to be able to see what I'm about to do. So I want you guys to be able to test right now. Do you think you might have any blind spots? Now, if you cannot do this move I'm about to do easily, you have blind spots. So all you're going to do is take a pen, or I'm going to use a ball, but take something, and you're going to hold it on your right side. And you're literally going to move from about your top of your head down the right side. And you're going to make your eyes really stretch. So if you've got that pen out in front of you, that's not it. Pull it way back towards your ear. Start again at the top and pull it down. And what you're looking for is, did your eyes actually track, or are they still stuck in the up position? Right? Did you just have to flick your eyes down? If so, you've got a blind spot on the right. Okay, put the ball in your left hand. Start again at the top and bring that down slowly. You're back by your ear here. Bring it down slowly. And notice if you had any skips, or if it's just really painful. If you're blinking a lot, if it hurts, you've got blind spots. Okay, put it up over your head. So about 4 inches above the top of your head. Just to the front a little, and you're going to move left and right. Keep your chin down though. If you just lifted your chin way up to see, you've got a blind spot. So in this area, in this upper area, blind spots up here are catastrophic because you don't have access to ideas and inspiration. You don't have access to new ways of thinking. That's the problem. And then there's the last one, and it's down about your chest. So head straight and level, put the eyes down. And this one can be really sore for some people. And if that's really sore, or if you can't see the ball at all, which happens, you're not connected with your body. So if this is you, you've got some work to do. But the good news is you've got a way that you can work to open up new perspectives. You can have new ideas. You can have a whole new world, in a couple of minutes, right, Bill? We've seen that all the time.
Yeah, and it's not one thing, it's many things. Everything from your athletic performance. It doesn't matter whether you're a volleyball player, a basketball player, a marksman, it doesn't matter. When you get that part of the brain back, you're going to find that your ability dramatically increases. And we're talking about speed, strength, accuracy, response time. All of these things are actual real life studied. These things have been studied about the response time. There is a moment when you see something to your reaction time. And we've actually did brain scans at the SciTech Labs, and it was about a 30% better reaction time from the time that, oh, there's a problem to physical action. 30%. So it's not something that you have to do more reps. It could be just as simple as taking care of that glitch, which you'll end up getting the performance.
I have worked with so many athletes, so many where it's exactly that. One side or the other, the eyes just are not moving. They don't have full range of motion when their eyes on one side, or peripheral vision is not open. And I'm telling you, that 30% increase is everything. Like, it's a superpower for an athlete, but it can also be a real negative when they can't figure out why they keep missing, the ball or whatever it is on that side. And they really, really do. I had one athlete who, it was funny because she would lose her first and her last match almost every tournament. Couldn't figure out why. Turned out it was in that first match and the last match, she was positioned in a certain way. I'm not sure why exactly because I don't understand her sport. But as soon as we opened up her vision on her left side, she was nailing it because she rocked it in the middle. She would often get to the very last game and she would lose it the last match every time. So she doesn't do that anymore. We're going to take our first break here. But if you are hearing this and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm an athlete who has blind spots, or you were not able to move your eyes in that exercise I did, and you're really seeing that your money could be in question, your relationships could be suffering, you are making decisions about your body, and you're just like not sure why, then our Essentials program is exactly the right thing for you. And in minutes, you could have your life back. You could see everything for what it really is and get that 30% reaction time. So if you're out there listening and you want to get started today, what I want you to do is reach out to info@cognomovement.com. That is Leah, our business manager, and email her the word READY, READY. And she will send you a link to a free class that you can get started with right away. All right, let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network, and we'll be right
back. UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, I hope you guys fired off that email while we were in the break. Info@Cogno, C-O-G-N-O, and the word movement.com, and the word ready, email the word ready. Okay, I have a really fun story, Bill, and I just heard this one. Somebody called into Leah, who's our business manager, to talk about our practitioner program. And she'd been doing all the free stuff online. And she is an athlete. And she said she's a high-level athlete, evidently. And she said that she was angry at her games all the time. That if she lost to somebody who was better than her, she was just freaking pissed, right? Really angry. So she said at her last tournament, she did Cogno movement the whole day. She said it was amazing. She was so calm and she won every game. So she didn't even know about that 30% improved reaction time. She didn't even know about needing to open up the blind spots. She was just doing it to feel calmer during the game. And she, you know, thought that that would make things better. And it certainly did. So that's a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. What type of sport?
Well, I don't want to out her. So it is a sport with a racket. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. That could be a lot of things.
So I have another cool story. Had a client come in, and it's actually a friend of mine. And she, it was an emergency session, and she was really, really off her game. She's a business owner, though, just a high level, like brilliant human. And, you know, I mean, she was crying. She was so frustrated. It really felt like everything was ending. Everything was just ending. And there was no way out, absolutely no way out for her. And immediately I could see what was wrong. Her eyes, again, would not move to the left. They wouldn't move to the left at all. So in the session, when I used a ball to move that to get it open, you could see it was so painful. And she almost got mad. It was so painful on that side. Well, she knows the game with cognitive movement. She kept going. As soon as we got her eyes moving to the left, which means she has access to her right brain, she started to have solutions. She was like, oh, this isn't that big of a deal. Oh, I got this. I can figure it out. The cool thing was within 2 days, she called me and said, whatever the problem had been, there was a problem. It resolved itself. Just fixed. Just done. Yeah. Like it was like, she actually said the universe opened to me, which is interesting because really what opened is her own ability to see her own possibilities, which then opened the door for the universe to allow all these things to just clear up. It's fascinating, right?
It really is. Really is. You know, what I love about this is that it's really not one thing. It's everything.
It is. You know,
I like looking at it as what part of your life does your brain affect?
Everything.
Your finances, your relationships, your athletic ability, all these different, how you feel about yourself. You know, a lot of people, you know, never consider that they could feel any different about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that they could feel different about themselves is if something external changed. You know, I'll be happy when I get the house. I'll be happy when I get the ideal boy. You know, when I lose weight, when I gain weight, if I could grow hair, you know, some of us have a little bit more problem in that department than others, but, I feel the same with and without my hair. but it's a very real thing, you know, there have been people that could not move their eyeballs upwards. And this is very, very common with people who played sports and got head injuries, concussions. You know, it doesn't have to be sports. Could have been riding a motorcycle, or, you know, dad could have done some extra disciplining. You know, whatever, doesn't matter how it happened. Certainly it matters how it happened, but the injury is the injury, and we never really think about it, you know, a week later, a month later, or a year later, much less 20 years later. But the feelings of kind of like just chronically, you know, forever not feeling great. Well, as it turns out, you know, there's these parts of your brain up here. Interestingly, this part of the brain right here on brain scans in the middle of the forehead, about an inch or so in, they found that people that are chronically positive, that sounds kind of like what? Chronically? Yes, chronically positive on brain scans across, you know, men, women, whoever, different ages, but chronically positive, this area on brain scans shows up as super active. Well, we know that eyes up activates this whole prefrontal cortex here, this whole section. And you know, clearly, you know, over time, we've all seen that when somebody wins, you know, like, I won, yeah, and they're looking up. Or maybe they're, you know, in worship, you know, basically connected to that divine or whatever it might be, they're looking up. So it activates these parts of the brain, you know, the not only positive, but compassion and those sorts of things. So when people, and a lot of people get the injuries in the front, right? You're driving your car, you get in an accident. Where does your head go? It goes right into that steering wheel, you know, boom. And now we have airbags, but still it is basically an explosion, that bag. And a lot in football, we hit the front of our head, or if we fall forward, or all these different ways to injure the front of the front of the brain. But one of the things that we found is that when we can get somebody's eyes moving upwards, their attitude starts to change about themselves. There's actually an eye position where you begin to have a great feeling about yourself. And for a lot of people, it's up and slightly to the left or right. And we call this the love direction. But this great feeling, right, is you're activating a different part of your brain. It's something that really I think the world needs to know about that, hey, it could just be as simple as getting my eyes moving into the right direction. Most of us spend our lives looking in the opposite direction, right, Liz?
100%. Like as we get older, and now with modern technology, our eyes are down, a good 80% of the time. Bill and I did some research about how many hours a day from, I think it is 2002 to
2007.
2007 to 2025. So it went from minutes a day, like looking at a phone, to up to over 8 hours a day looking at a phone. And our eyes get locked either front and center with computers or down with phones. And in that down position, we're constantly in our physical bodies, in our feelings. And you can see this that now we have what's called the Trauma Olympics. How I feel is more important, me personally, than you at all. I don't care how you feel. I only care how I feel, and I can only see my own perspective. We've seen it in politics. We've seen it with our Gen Z and Gen Xers and now Gen Alpha. Like they literally are only into their own selves. Well, from what Bill and I know, that this eyes down position is in the kinesthetic, in the body, how I feel. But it's also the lowest feelings are there. When a person looks down, they're usually sad. There's depression. And so we found that all of these things, depression, anxiety, unaliving oneself, all of those kinds of things, plus lots of neurological disorders, go right along with this viewing of the phone or computers went right along with it. What we know is that the eye movement locks you into a perspective and into a feeling. There are some other things that we have seen in observation that people who have Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or autism, we would all agree are more severe brain disorders, that the thing they cannot do is move their eyes upward. They cannot. The eyes just won't move. It's so painful. It's like they're locked. When we can open those areas up, when we can get those eyes moving, we find that they find relief from a lot of those conditions. Now, we're not saying that we're reversing Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. Autism, we can help a lot, but we're not reversing any of those conditions. We're literally providing the brain new perspective, access to itself once again, which changes everything. So those might seem extreme for people, but for everybody out there listening, if you're on an app right now, you got your phone on, and you're likely guilty of that eyes down position for more than a few hours a day, which is going to limit your ability to have ideas and inspiration. It is going to limit your ability to learn. Conversely, think about little kids. And little kids supposedly can learn so fast. And when you get old, you're like, I can't learn anything, because I'm old. But what if it's simply this? Little kids are constantly looking up. Everybody's bigger than them. The world's bigger than them. Their eyes are googly, moving around, looking at everything, touching everything. As we get older and we're the same height as people and everything built for us, we have no need to move our eyes up. So could it be that it's not that you can't learn because you're older, but because you're not able to move your eyes in the up position, which is taking on something new, the ability to receive something new. It could be that simple. But the other thing that you just said, Bill, is like chronically joyful people, you know, have this prefrontal cortex activation. The reason that we have all this depression and anxiety and unaliving ourselves is we're not having access to that prefrontal cortex, but we can simply by opening up that part of the vision, which is pretty incredible, don't you think?
You know, the beautiful thing about it is that it's just easy. It's easy to start. And you can verify it for yourself, you know, at any moment in time, is just start rolling your eyes upward across the top. And when you do this, most people will rapidly just like, oh yeah, I'm fine. Look, I can do it. You know, they're just slamming they're just running their eyes across the top. Yeah, I'm good. Look at me. If you move your eyes slowly across the top, very, very slowly, every inch, you know, actually less than an inch, every millimeter, and you move across, you'll find it'll be like, people's eyes are not meant to do that. I've heard that comment right? Uh-huh. A lot. I don't think your eyes are supposed to do this. And the reason they're saying that is because it feels like such strain. It doesn't feel natural. But all that is that you have discovered the place that is the part of the brain that is not functioning optimally. And once you get this resolved, you're actually stimulating that part of the brain, and you'll be able to access it. And when we access a different part of the brain than we normally could, we end up getting answers that we've never had access to before.
It's really true.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, everybody, we are talking about emotional blind spots that are actually physical blind spots. And I'll tell you a story of a little girl that I saw who was really struggling with stuff at school. She's about 10. And about that age, you know, the girls start fighting and the boys are doing other things. And And it was a little tiny private school, and they were all fighting with each other. And it was a big problem. And this little girl's very studious, and she felt very responsible for what was going on, and, you know, crying and just not having a good time. So her mom brought her in, and I saw that in her upper left quadrant. So if you would take an arrow from the eyebrow and kind of go up at about a 90 degree angle, there was a spot. And every time I moved the ball through that area, stretching her eyes, her body would have a little convulsion, like a little involuntary convulsion. I'm like, whoa, that is not great. And her mom was like, what is happening? So it took us a few minutes. It wasn't instant, but it took us a few minutes to clear that out. Her nervous system was, she had a block in her vision, but she also had a nervous response that was moving throughout her whole body. So it took a few minutes, but we cleared that out and that stopped. So she was happy again. She had, you know, was optimistic about school and didn't feel so responsible for everybody else's things. And she said, oh, you know, mom, it's fine. It's fine there. Everything's okay. And she was happy again. And her mom could see she was happy around the house. But what happened next was the thing that was the biggest surprise. She had this problem with doing a spin at karate class. You know, and dancers have this problem too, where they're doing a spin and they need to turn their head and keep their eye on a spot, you know, to land that spin and exactly like she couldn't do it, couldn't do it, couldn't do it. And that night after the session, she could do it. No problem. So the spot in her vision was limiting her in sports, but it was also limiting her ability to handle emotionally the situation that was going on at school. So I thought that was very interesting.
That is, you know, there's been people who literally go into a rage, and it really came down to that there was a part of their brain that they couldn't regulate. You know, there's this part of your brain that that's up on the sides of the prefrontal cortex. And I forget whether it's the left or right, but this part of the brain was responsible for regulating emotion. And this person had some injury, and they wouldn't be able to control the rage.
Yeah.
And once we, and that was reflected in, I remember it was up and to the left with the eyes. And that place was so painful. It's like, I can't, they would try to keep their eye there and then the eye would fall, you know, out of focus and come back down. And we would coax the eye to come back to the upper left position. You know, I'd keep it there for a minute or two, and then it'd fall down. And we had to take a lot of breaks, you know, in the exercise. But the amazing thing is that once it got to the point where he was able to, like, yeah, I can look up there. It's fine. Yeah, it's okay now. There's no pulling. There's no tension. There's no headache. There's no resistance. All of that went away. And you can imagine for the, you know, none of us live in isolation where, you know, you've got neighbors, you've got family, you got friends. There's people in cars that are next to you. There's people in the grocery store next to you. There's people at the gas station that are close to you. You know, and if you cannot regulate your anger, you know, whatever, somebody pulls in front of you or, you know, or says something, you know, to you. Trying to regulate your emotions through force of will just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, there's a real limit to that. And if that part of your brain is offline, you know, that's a real challenge. So, the quality of life, And all of us have these in relationships. I want to have a better relationship, you know, with my husband, my wife, my spouse. But it, you know, when we get into a conversation, it's like it goes from 0 to 10.
Yeah.
How many people have that? And it could be just as simple for both of you to get the part of the brain to work, you know? And if you find yourself in that position, just these simple exercises can start to get your brain online. And can you imagine being in that conversation with your husband, wife, spouse, and you're like, oh, you're doing that, and I don't feel a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you know, which seems, it seems impossible.
You know, it's interesting because you've got lots of people out there who have uncontrollable emotions, or at least they feel that way, right? Anxiety, big anxiety attacks are one that's so common now. The anger you're talking about is so common now. Jealousy is another one that has ruined more than one relationship, you know? And these people go to therapy. Their families want them to go to therapy to talk about how to fix this. And not understanding that these are not things that a person can necessarily control. They can be aware of it. They can have more awareness. You know, there are small things that they can do to deal with the emotion, but they don't understand that you can eradicate that uncontrollable part of it by opening up the parts of the brain that are in control of that. You know, they say that therapy is the, psychology is the only medicine that doesn't look at the organ it treats, right? And so they're not recognizing that there is a part of the brain that is offline, the part of the brain that could govern that. So people who are doing these exercises, the cognitive movement exercises daily, or at least a few times a week, are far less likely to have these issues because they're making sure that they have full access to their brain through the movement of their eyes. I have a really fun story. And I know I've told this one before, but you know, parents and kids, you know, some people just every time they're at the table, dinner table with their kid, they're wanting to kill that one kid. You know, they're so annoying, so irritating. Well, this story has to do with a woman who was homeschooling her kids and they were sitting at the kitchen table. And her son was sitting to her left, down about like where the kidney area would be. So kind of down into her left, which for many people, liver area actually, is your anger spot. We all have one. I can put your eyes in a place that'll light you up right now, or at least create severe irritation. Well, that is where her son was sitting. Now her daughter was on the other side and that was just fine. And so when we were in session, I was asking her like, what does the son do? And it wasn't like, you know, he doesn't really do anything. He just is so annoying, right? So I realized exactly what was happening. And I told her, you know, we worked her eyes, we got everything open, but I said, put your son directly across from you on the table. Explained why, that this is your anger zone. Just like we have a love department for our brain, we have an anger one. She did, and it cleared up. She's like, oh my God, all this time I was just irritated with him and it was me, it was not him, right? So imagine like where in your life is this happening to you? When you're driving, is your spouse on one side where you have an emotional and physical blind spot? Or are they in your annoying zone? You know, do they sit at that place at the dinner table or on the couch? You know, is there someone who just rubs you the wrong way? And the problem is really not them, but it's where they stand when they're talking to you. Like, these are things people have no idea are even possible, Bill. Right,
exactly. You know, and that one is so fun. You know, that little bit of data, you know, if you have somebody, try changing up the position. You know, most people have their, you know, their comfort chair or their position physically at the table. Try changing it up. You might find that your relationships change.
Well, and here's something really simple that can prove this. Everybody has their side of the bed, right? So sometimes my husband and I travel, and I left and right don't mean anything to me at all. They just don't. And so we'll be at a hotel where there's a different setup for the bedroom, and I get on the wrong side. He's like, no, that's my side. I'm like, what difference does it make? He's like, it would just feel weird. I just like you just can't have it. And so many people talk about this, right? Like, really, what difference does it make? But why does it make so much difference to our nervous system? It feels wrong, right?
But at the same time, challenging, and that's what the work that cognitive movement is all about, is challenging the nervous system. Changes, changing things up. Like sleeping on the other side of the bed, brushing your teeth with the wrong hand, eat your meal with your fork with the wrong hand. All of these different things can really start to get your brain reorienting and being able to start seeing new perspectives.
Well, it's true because we are so routine. When you're a little kid, you don't care where the heck you sit or where you are, right? Like, you're all over the place. But as you get older, we get more into these routines. And it would beg the question, why? I would suspect that as we do get older, our eye movement gets more and more limited due to a million things, many head injuries, your neck hurts, where you sit in school, whatever, a thousand reasons it happens. But that we become more and more restricted by our own nervous system because of it. And that the more flexible your eye movement is, the more flexible your nervous system is, the more access you have to the brain, the more you have mental acuity, you are flexible mentally as well. The younger I think a person might feel, and the less set in our ways we might get. And I think this proves out elderly people are set in their ways, right? That's what they say. But they're the ones whose eyes move the least as well. Except for the ones who do this work, like Bill's mom, who's 88 now and is as spry as she
80,
can be.
87 and as spry. Yeah, spry is a great word. Oh my gosh. I got to see her last weekend in person, and she does this work every single day, 7 days a week. She does it, and she is just looking better than she did 20, 30 years ago. I mean, standing or her posture, her face, her energy level, her brain, and her cognitive, just snappy, snappy, snappy.
Well, okay, guys, we have reached the end of this episode. This one has been a lot of fun. But if you're feeling like you could use a whole life refresh, if any of the things we said today relate to you, we've got a program. It's called the Essentials Program that allows you to get this brain, body, eye, emotions, perspective reset right away. Reach out to info@cognomovement.com. Just send the word ready. And we will send you a free class to get you started right away and a link to get your Essentials program right now. All right. Until next time, everybody out in there in UK Health Radio land, be safe and be well. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.